from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do not sleep on this young man. Had he run faster at the combine, he would have went much higher. He would have went in the first round. He is a monster on the perimeter now. I think this will be a 12 personnel centric type of offense. You will see these two tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, featured. And you will see Keon Coleman going up and high pointing this football down the field on the regular. Don't sleep on Buffalo. They'll be fine. But he is not going to be the guy who replaces everything that Stephon Diggs did.
That is Lewis Riddick, ESPN, on the Bills and Keon Coleman. 1 week from training camp, Coleman and the other Bills rookies would have reported yesterday. One Bills drive for that, though. They're not out practicing at St. John Fisher. Not yet. Next week. So we'll be down there. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy White off until next week. Now on the Western Hotline is Matt Perino from Syracuse.com and the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast. Morning, Matt. Thanks for getting up with us.
What's up, boys? How are you?
We are doing pretty well. The robot umps thing from the, I don't know how big a baseball guy you are, Matt, but the robot umps thing that Josh just had in the update, are we going to be fighting about that in the sports radio and sports media business, do we think?
I mean, probably. Like, we fight about everything. So
that's,
I mean,
that's fair.
It'll probably happen. But to be honest with you, I'm so sick of seeing these social media clips of these just egregious umpire calls and the umpires just becoming like these characters in these baseball games. Just, it takes away from the game. Like, let's just have it. Like, I don't know if robotic umps are the answer, but like, the dude should have some type of like little microphone in his ear to say, hey, dude, that was a strike or that was a ball. Like, you just made an egregious mess up. Reverse the call. Like, I think that could be like somebody in the booth or whatever, as opposed to robotic umps. Like, that's going to be, I think, weird to change the game that way. But I just think we got to come up with a better idea than what's been happening. I mean, it got so bad earlier this season that Angel Hernandez, like, basically got run out of baseball.
Yeah. Well, finally, right? There, that had been a long time. My solution is,
and Matt might agree, because Matt and I both coach our kids' baseball teams, our house teams and travel teams and 9-10-year-old baseball. Just let the kids ump, Matt. Just let the kids ump. I mean, come on. Nobody's going to argue with a kid ump. If you do, you're a little wacky, right? I mean, come on.
What a solution.
Well, I've seen a bunch of people argue with kid umps this
exactly.
year alone. So it's the wild, wild west out there, you know, in the Little League circuit sometimes. Those videos, actually, speaking of social media clips, those are worse. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Some of these
just get absolutely tossed from a game by a kid. It's not as bad with the high school kids, but for what Sal and I deal with, I mean, we're talking about like 12, 11-year-old kids umpiring these games. Like, get a grip, people.
Yeah. Matt Parrino on the Wester Hotline. So we're 1 week out from training camp, Matt. Heading in, Coleman there in the clip, of course, is going to be like a very popular answer for this. I saw you writing about James Cook yesterday on your site, and maybe even talking about it. I saw a clip that you retweeted as well. What's the thing? The thing we've been trying to figure out, like, what are we really still left wondering here? This offseason's felt like it's gone on forever. The Diggs trade, and of course, the draft was such a long process. What's left to wonder going into training camp?
Like, I still wonder. You mentioned James Cook. Like, I wonder, like, truly, like, if this offense, we've been talking so much about it being built around Dalton Kincaid, and I think that that's still definitely in play. But I think, like, the more I think about it, James Cook could be in play for that role. I mean, look what San Francisco does with the way that they operate that offense. I mean, it is solely based around Christian McCaffrey in both areas of the game. And if it's funny, I went back and looked at some of the stats, and last season, of all the running backs that had 237 carries or more, only McCaffrey and Cook in the top 10 had more than 4.7 yards per carry. So, I mean, this is a guy that when you're giving him the ball, he's doing a lot with it, especially in the passing game. Now, of course, the conversation then turns to the drops. He was second in the NFL in terms of running backs in fumbles. Only Austin Eckler had more. So is he going to be able to put a lot of that to bed? I think that he definitely can. I mean, Joe Brady talked about it a couple weeks ago, him coming in physically in much better shape. I think the focus level and the opportunity meeting each other, I think he has a chance to be such an important part of what they do. And so then I went back and I watched a couple games. Everybody talks about that Dallas game for Cook, and they rightfully so. He was so special in that game. But go back and watch the Kansas City game. He was equally as special in that game, especially in the passing game. I mean, he got them on the board with that touchdown early in that game where he just blew by the defense. And as he gets more comfortable in Joe Brady's offense, like, there's so much opportunity for what you could do with him. And go back to what Brandon Bean talked about with him when they drafted him. I mean, they see him as kind of a quasi-wide receiver at times. And I think maybe we see a little bit of a shift to, okay, when Ray Davis is ready, and I'm not expecting him to be ready in September to have like a predominant role in the offense, but maybe James Cook kind of turns into a little bit more of a dual threat kind of player, a la Christian McCaffrey, and Ray Davis can kind of be his sidekick. I'm still high on Ty Johnson as well. I just know they drafted him, and they drafted him for a reason. I'm excited to see how that plays out.
Yeah, Cook in that Chief game, he led the game in receiving, 83 yards. I guess actually it was the same as Kelsey, but 5 for 83 and a touchdown in that game. I saw the other day that he led all running backs. Matt Harmon from Yahoo had this. He led all running backs in 2023 in average depth of target. It was only like 2.1 yards down the field. But as he pointed out, like, a lot of running backs are actually in the negative because of dump-offs and screens. And Cook had some plays down the field. So how would you feel about that, though? Like, that is that's a thing. The Bills have not really had a running back-centric offense, and that can passing game included in that. The whole time Josh Allen has been their quarterback, you know, McCaffrey in a Purdy offense, a Shanahan offense, you know, Allen is not a quarterback where you would think, oh yeah, feature the running back in any way. But they did do some of that at the end of the year. Like, how would you think that is smart of them to do if they were to go about featuring Cook in an even a bigger role in the pass game?
I mean, I think it's smart only in the sense that he's arguably your best or second best player on offense now. And so I think you have to get your best players involved in the game plan. And, you know, we say it from a run perspective. I think Joe Brady was just smarter with how he ran the offense. I was listening to a podcast the other day, the Bootleg Podcast. They do a really good job. I think Bills fans should check them out. I think it's Brett Coleman that runs that one. And they were talking about Brady, when he took over, under center, they ran the ball when Josh Allen was under center 80% of the time compared to 65% of when Ken Dorsey was there. And, you know, obviously the difference is you don't have to dress it up. You have a really good offensive line. You're able to, I think they were like third or fourth in the league of yards before contact to last season. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helps the run game also. But I think that's what it comes down to when it comes to being smart, is like, don't overthink it. Don't get too cute. Like, get the ball in the hands of the guys that make plays. The other thing I love about Cook is you watch some of his highlights from last year, and he's always moving forward when the ball is in his hands. Like, yeah, sure, he's going a little bit side to side at times, but he's leaning forward. He gets you run after the catch a lot of times just because his momentum is always pushing forward. He's super athletic. He's super quick. So I think that the ball needs to be in those guys' hands. I don't think it's going to be the San Francisco offense. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I just mean that leaning into what they did well with Cook last year can just be a bigger part of what they do and who they are identity-wise. I still think it's going to be a heavy 12-person. I heard the Lewis Riddick clip that you guys played at the beginning. I agree. I mean, they dipped down. I think they went down in 10% in 11 personnel usage last year. Everybody was expecting this massive leap into 12, and they only went up a bit. I think it was like 8 or 7 percentage points. I think it'll go up even more this year, and they'll be among the top teams in the league that utilize 12 personnel. But they're still really good in 11. I think they can still be good in 11, even with the personnel that they have now.
Matt Parrino on the West Her Hotline. Matt, just from the wide receivers, let's take out tight ends, let's take out running backs. What's the pecking order for you? There's a lot of thought about maybe Keon Coleman, what his numbers might look like. Is Curtis Samuel the number one target guy? Is it Khalil Shakir? What does that pecking order look like for you? And on the back end, who are you confident in right now is pretty substantial on the roster?
Yeah, I like that question. I think for me the pecking order is probably Samuel. Thank you. Samuel, Shakir, and then Coleman. I think Coleman's going to have his weeks, right? But I think they're very guarded against giving them rookies too big of a role early on. And then beyond those three, like, I think that is going to be your big three in terms of target share. I think MVS is going to have a pretty significant role. I think that experience in Kansas City, they're going to lean on that. And then it's going to be about, all right, is Matt Collins that locker room guy? Are they going to give him a real shot to play an offensive role here, or is he more of a special teams supplemental guy, a la like a Jake Kumerow? And then the wild card, we've talked about him all spring here, is Chase Claypool. I mean, there's a world we can live in where he has himself a terrific summer, and he's in the mix, and he's getting targets in games every single week and part of a game plan. And I think to me that's the early ceiling. I'm not sitting here predicting that he's going to have, he's going to be in the mix as one of the top three guys. But if you're talking about guys that can win down the field, go turn on some of the tape from his first season with Ben Roethlisberger before he went noodle-armed. I mean, they were winning down the field. He was running past cornerbacks. And I think out of all the guys that they have on the roster, maybe outside of a KJ Hamler, and the only reason I'm not more bullish on him is because I still need to see him stay healthy. And that's been the problem that's held up Hamler all this time. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy, I don't think he's only in the mix to be one of your top six. Mm-hmm. I think he might push one of those top three guys if Hamler could stay healthy. So
that's a bold pick. I like that.
I like that a lot.
It's a bold pick from Matt Parrino right there. I like it.
I also don't fully disagree with him, Matt, because I actually read a story the other day about his condition. Pericarditis, I think, is the name of it. Like, it's almost like he feels like his heart is cramping sometimes, and that happened to him in Denver, which caused him to have his career, end there. Then he goes to the Colts and is on the practice squad, and it happened again while he was in Indianapolis. So, I mean, you hope for his sake, of course, he just stays healthy, even just for his quality of life. But from a football perspective, I wonder how much that... I mean, if it happened on each of the two teams he's had, there could have been, reasons why they wouldn't want to put him out there. Like, I wonder if...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
There is a player in there, and we just haven't seen it because one, he has had a couple. He had a knee injury. It's not just this heart condition, but the heart condition and a couple of injuries. Is there a player in there? Because he was a second-round pick just like Chase Claypool was. The only thing, though, I would ask you about him is if he stays healthy and looks great in camp, like, what is his role? Because he is a small speed guy, and that is not like the rest of their trend. Right, Sal, you've made this point that all the receivers they've brought in this offseason, Coleman and Hollins and MVS, Claypool, like, they brought in size. And Hamler is definitely not that.
No, without a doubt. I think you're on the money. And I don't know because I think that the guys that they bring in, they think that they have versatility, right or wrong, right? Like, I think Joe Brady is sitting here today thinking that Curtis Samuel is more than this gadget guy that you can just put in the slot or put in the backfield. Like, I think they think he can win on the outside too. And he's going to have to. I mean, either he or Shakir is going to have to. If that ends up being the big three, you're going to need two guys to play on the boundary. And one of them is going to be Keon Coleman, but one of them is going to be one of those guys. Unless you're going to go with MBS, who's going to maybe go over them, and then you're going to have a Shakir and Samuel kind of like reversing order. I think he played predominantly out of the slot. His numbers early on, if I could check on PFF, I think I put something out on this at some point in the spring. It bounced around from year to year. His boundary snaps were higher in some seasons than others. He can do it, and I think he can win down the field. That's the biggest thing. Like, Sal, we were there the day of practice when he won down the field from Josh Allen, beat the cornerback, got wide open, got this unbelievable separation, and made just – a sensational catch and stayed in bounds. Like, that's what you're hoping for from him. But it's just about, can he stay healthy? Is this heart condition a bigger thing? And they'll find that out pretty early on, I think, in training camp when the pads come on.
Quick follow-up on while we're on Hamler for both of you guys. We're still, I think, just guessing at who their returner will be, right, for kickoffs and maybe for punt returns. And maybe that could be a spot where Hamler tries to push. I don't know if he did any of this at like mini camp or if they even went about it there. And maybe that's a training camp thing. But I did just look. He returned like 81 returns in college. He hasn't done it in the NFL, but he did it in college.
I mean, he's going to be a guy that if they go to him and say, do you want to do this and make yourself a little bit more valuable, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. And there's got to be a little bit of juice and excitement for all these guys that are going out for kick return just to see, like, okay, I have a chance to make explosive plays and add value and potentially get a next contract if I can, you know, really shine in this area. I think Daquan Hardy in that role is really interesting just because of what he did at the college level. I think guys are going to be able to break this, the containment a little bit easier in with the new rules. I'm really excited. I know Sal is. He was chomping at the bit when we were talking to Brandon at the end of minicamp. I think anybody with kind of game-breaking speed, and KJ Hamler certainly has that. I think he was like a 4.31 guy.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect from the kick return. Like, who knows, right? At this point, we're going to find out. But punt return is a really interesting one. Daquan Hardy, you know, is he ready for that role as a rookie? And if you do, what does that look like in the roster? How does that impact other positions, what they keep? No doubt. On the defensive side, real quick, Matt, did you guys see the linebacker rankings from Jeremy Fowler from the NFL scouts, execs? I mean, even with a pretty much a lost season, there's Matt Milano at number three, right? I mean, this guy's still so highly, highly regarded, and rightfully so. How confident are you, Matt, in Matt Milano's return and him and Bernard pairing as, you know, the dynamic duo they can be?
Oh, I have no lost confidence in his ability to come back and be the guy that he was. I mean, we see this every day, Sal, and, you know, in the building, on the practice field, there's nobody that works as hard as he does. And the determination to see him out there as early as we did, and the fact that he was kind of doing some individual work, like, he's chomping at the bit. And even at the end of last season, like, he doesn't talk really much. He'll do an occasional press conference. But you could see, like, even when he would kind of be around the guys, like, I wonder how much he missed it. I'll be interested to hear him talk about that early when the Bills start camp next week. But he's just so good, and what he does so well, a lot of that has to do with feel for the game, reaction, you know, being able to read things pre-snap. He's so important to that, what they do. Tyrell Dotson was really good last year, but there's just no replacing what Matt Milano brings. And that's the toughest part for Bills fans last season is, like, what would have been if you had a healthy Bernard and Milano all season, and especially in the playoffs? So, I think you could take a really safe approach with this. Like, say he's ready to go week one. We saw what happened with Von Miller last year. We've heard from Von Miller the last couple weeks and the fact that maybe he wasn't ready to go. You don't have to rush him back. Like, I think there's valuable reps there to be had for guys like Dorian Williams and Eddie Ulofosio. You know, and you can work those guys in while getting Matt Milano back up to speed. You don't have to put too much on his plate right away. I think the most important thing, however their strength and conditioning program works this out, he's got to be 100% and ready to go in December, and they got to prioritize that being the ramp up. And I know they got to win in September and October, and they need Matt Milano to do that. But you really, we saw how important those linebackers are in the playoffs last year against the Chiefs.
Last thing for me, Matt, we're going to be trying to figure out what form Von Miller is going to be in, returning from last year where he did basically nothing. What is it, 1.5 tackles in the games he played? How much do you think we'll know before week one? Like, before they line up against the Cardinals, camp and preseason, and his age included in that context, like, how do you think we'll know what form he's in, or do you think it's going to be week one, we're still completely in the dark on it?
I think there'll be a couple telltale signs. Like, the guy is, like, so positive all the time. That's why he was when he first got here before the injury. And, you know, I've seen definite departure from that, and especially even in the spring, like coming to his press conference and, you know, that signature smile that, you know, was plastered all over websites for weeks and months after he signed with the Bills, you know, that it was gone at times. And I asked them about it. And I said, was there ever any doubts that crept in that, like, maybe you can't do this at the same level again? And he said, he was honest about it. He said, yeah. But I do think that there's positivity. I like the way that he's talking about what this season is about to him and what he needs to be to get back. And the fact that he believes that he can be that guy, and he's pissed off that people are talking about him being in the past tense. And so I think we'll see little signs of that. And then, like, when the pads come on, we'll be able to tell pretty early on, especially when he's going up against Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown in a contract year. We'll probably see him a little bit in the preseason. So there'll be little telltale signs, but they need him, right? Like, this isn't like a situation like last year where they can lean on a Leonard Floyd who will give you 10 sacks. Like, they don't have a guy on the roster outside of Miller that's ever had 10 sacks in a season. And they're going to be potentially depending on a guy, you know, Dwayne Smoot, who's 2 years removed from that ACL, but I don't know. He didn't look super, you know, spry, I guess I'll say, in the spring. And so it's going to be guys like Javon Solomon, Kingsley Jonathan. Unless they get to training camp or the preseason and say, okay, we got a real problem here, we have to make an investment, we have to get aggressive, they have draft capital, and maybe go out and try to get somebody or sign somebody. Like, that to me is, like, I think we talked about this, Joe, the last time I was on. that could be the trade deadline target more than wide receiver. Maybe it's edge rusher.
Yeah. Matt Parrino of the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast. You can check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, Syracuse.com as well. And I'll be hitting you up for whenever the next UFC card I should care about is. Is there one coming up that I have to care about?
Yeah, I think Jones will fight this year. McGregor is, okay, you know, allegedly 2024. But
I'm not holding my breath that that's ever happening. I've been waiting like 5 years for this guy to come back. Has it been five years?
Sad. Yeah, I think it's almost been 5 years since he fought in the octagon. I think that was the Khabib fight. But the thing is, the sad is, I'm almost more excited about Jake Paul, Mike Perry than I am for any upcoming UFC fight. I shouldn't say that.
What?
I shouldn't say that. I'm really excited for, I don't know, I just think Mike Perry is the kind of crazy dude that could just go and end that entire circus.
But we're doing the YouTube fight thing now? Like,
Has he
fought enough where he's not a YouTuber anymore? He's a real boxer?
No, but I just want it to be over. And so, like, the more guys that he fights that could potentially win gets me juiced up. But there's some good fights, like, I think it's Merab versus O'Malley. That's a good fight.
Adesanya's fighting this summer, right?
Yep, Holloway is fighting the 145 guy. So, I mean, there's some good fights.
All right, it's not a zero. And then, of course, Sal, Mike Tyson later in the year. Of course. The young and up-and-coming Mike Tyson will fight a little bit later on this year. Matt, appreciate
the world we live in.
Appreciate the time as always, Matt. We'll talk soon.
Later, guys.
Matt Parrino on the Western Hotline. Yeah, Mike Tyson in September. That's what our fight world has come to. Just trot out the big names. They want to work out for a couple months and get back in there. They sold out Cowboy Stadium for that thing. For 58-year-old Mike Tyson. It's pretty wild. 803-0550 is the phone number. 9 o'clock, we're going to have our Bills offense first snap draft. How are they going to line up? First snap. Me and Sal will pick back and forth. Really, all the way, we could do it all the way down to the depths of the depth chart. If you want to draft Brian Thompson, you can draft Brian Thompson if you want, I guess.
I don't know what you have coming up, but
go ahead.
I have a fantasy subject for you. Just a little anecdote, something interesting for me this year about fantasy, and I want to run this by you because I'm like, okay, I got to tell Joe this.
I throw aside what I plan. No, you got fantasy plan next? Let's do it. I'm ready.
You're going to like it.
All right. We'll do that when we come back. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.